Good morning. Like he said, I'm Jimmy Stevenson. There's another family of Stevensons here from Iowa. Their name is spelled with a PH. Mine is spelled with a V. I'm actually from Pennsylvania. So, what I would like to do for you this morning, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. If you could bring up that PowerPoint. What I'll do is tell you about myself and who I am, what I'm doing, where I'm going, what we do as builders, and how that impacts other people's lives. Our motto as builders is building churches and building lives, not just building the physical building, but we actually get to build in the lives of the people while we do it. So I'd like to tell you my salvation, how I got to college, where God has continued to lead me through the years. Then I'll get into a little bit of details about Baptist Church Planters and the builders and what we do for the church themselves. And then we'll jump into a couple passages of Scripture and share how that relates to what I do as a builder. So, hop in the train, we're going for a ride. Actually, we'll go back here. So, I was born in Watkins Glen, New York. Only reason Watkins Glen is ever known is because there's a NASCAR racetrack there. That's the only reason it's ever known. There's also a beautiful gorge there, but that's beside the point. It is a beautiful place. Beautiful country. Lots more hills, lots more trees than out here. They are actual hills instead of... Oh, that's a knoll, I guess. I'm a little higher. I can now see Des Moines. So, sorry, not to pick on Iowa too much. I do enjoy the area a lot. So I was born up there, raised in a Christian family. We moved to Pennsylvania to a dairy farm when I was almost five. And my dad is actually still running that dairy farm back there in Pennsylvania. He's milking about 50 cows and continuing to sell lots of hay and different things to help supplement what the cows don't bring in. He needs other supplements to pay for the farm and keep it running. So he sells hay to horse people, and that's a very interesting thing. The summer before my senior year of high school, I was working at Slippery Rock Baptist Camp, a little church camp that I grew up going to. A lot of fun. I always enjoyed being there. And I wondered, all right, what do I actually need to... I lived like a Christian. When people saw me at church, it looked like I was a Christian. I walked the walk, but I didn't talk the talk, per se. I looked like it, but it wasn't in my heart. And that summer, that one week, that one Wednesday night, God got a hold of my heart and changed my life completely around. And he showed me that I wasn't following him, wasn't saved, and didn't know who he was. And that summer, God changed my heart and said, you need to follow me and live for me and serve me. So later that fall, I started looking at, all right, what can I actually do for God? And started looking into different things of what could I do to serve God with my life, because I should serve him. I want to serve him. And he, throughout that, he kind of pointed me towards going to college. Growing up on a farm, growing up out in the middle of nowhere in the country, I hated school. I never liked going to school. Didn't like class. If I could get schoolwork done as fast as I could to be outside in the afternoon, that's what I did. I tried to do schoolwork as fast as I could to get back outside in the afternoon. And if Dad called to say, hey, I need you to come help me with the cows for a few minutes, can you come help me? I was way too eager to go help him, which ended up hindering my schooling throughout college and different things. It was harder for me to study. And so I ended up going to Faith Baptist Bible College just down the road throughout God's leading. And throughout my time there, just really got to dive deeper into the Word and learn how to actually study the Word and actually be able to preach it. Went to become a youth pastor, and God actually called me out of that and into this ministry. And my senior year of college, I went on a trip to Texas. Hurricane Harvey had just hit Texas that fall. And there were several people from Iowa, from the Ankeny area, another girl from a different part in Iowa. There were seven or eight of us that all went down. And on the way down there, we picked up a retired builder by the name of Larry French. And Larry's a great guy. Marvin knows Larry very well. And on the way, saying, what can I actually do, or is this something that you would have me to do, Lord, to serve you? So I tried to be open to it, and God just continued to show his hand throughout everything. By Wednesday of that week, Larry was telling me, based on the skills that you have and the tools that you have in your belt, you ought to become a church builder. And it's like, okay, well, I'll start praying about it more. And kept praying about it for another couple weeks, another week and a half or so, and ended up calling the president of Baptist Church Planters and said, all right, what is the next step? What do I do next? And from then on, just kept on going. And then I did the internship that Marvin mentioned briefly. Did that for actually about 10 to 12 months, and then came on as a full-time missionary this past spring in March. And that was really cool. A little bit about Baptist Church Planters, a little bit about builders. Like I said, our motto is building churches and building lives. We build in the lives of the people that we work with. Many different people come on our job sites, whether that's a subcontractor, delivery guy, or the inspectors, or just the general volunteer coming in to help. We get to invest in their lives while they're on the job site. We get to be a light to them. It's a really cool environment. Our job site is very different compared to the normal regular work job site that you'd find around Ankeny or Des Moines or even up around here doing household construction or something. There's usually a lot more curse language going on those job sites than there is ours. We try to keep that to a very minimum, not from us, but to a minimum from the other people that are on the site. And it's sometimes very hard to do that. And it's very discouraging sometimes. But we get to build in their lives, and we get to show them who Christ is and what he's done for us. And we get to be a light right in front of them. I think you can read most of that. So what we do is we provide the labor. We travel around the United States providing labor and the kind of facilitating the process of building the church. We help lead and guide through all of that. We build the physical part of the building, like I mentioned. So like what you're sitting in right now, the pews that you're sitting in, the roof that's over top of your head right now, that is what we build, the physical part of the church. We also build the spiritual part, like I've already mentioned. We provide construction management. Our labor is basically free. There's a couple different things in there that Marvin could probably tell you more than I can about, but we come and we live on the job site. We travel in fifth wheel trailers. We pull in and we're there from beginning to end, from the ground up, from everything from the foundation all the way to the roof. We are there for it. We do everything in between those stages, between shingles and concrete. We do everything in between it. we also get involved in the church. So one way that I do that, one way that I get involved is in kids ministries or youth group, or both, or anywhere else that I can get plugged in. I enjoy getting to work with kids and young teens and helping them, pointing them towards Christ and what he's done for me and showing them that. And that's how I get to be plugged into the church. And that's one, just one aspect of us building lives. So I actually work under lead builder Brent Howard. His daughter Ryanne is actually sitting here. Funny thing about Brent and Larry French. Larry French also got Brent into building as well several, many years, 12 years ago? About 12 years ago. It's kind of interesting that Larry's gotten two of us into this, at least two of us into this. I help him do different things. I am in the learning stage right now. Growing up on the farm, we got to do many different things. We got to do concrete and build different things, but they were, it's a dairy farm. Cows have to be milked twice a day. There's crops that have to come in and other things. And when you, sometimes when you're building something on the farm, if it works right now, go do something else. And that's not how we build churches. So I'm learning an awful lot while I'm building, actually being a better, getting to be a better builder, building things differently than the way I might have learned a little bit. I love getting to work with the different people that come on our job sites and just working with them, working alongside them, getting to hear their story and getting to hear what they've, how, what their life has been and how they've lived their life. And some of those stories, some of the stories that some of those people tell are really interesting, really cool. And it's really interesting to get to see them and get to hear what they've done. And this is the first job site that I was actually able to be at. This is in Dryden, New York. This was last summer and fall and almost into the winter months. It was actually, we did actually have some snow while we were there. This building was a gymnasium with a couple classrooms, a kitchen, a couple bathrooms, and a new entryway. We remodeled part of their old building that they had been having as a gym into a couple of different classrooms. And it turned out really, really nice. This is a couple more. The big picture on the left is that same building in Dryden. The picture in the upper right-hand corner is our work crew that we had in Massachusetts this past spring. And then the picture in the bottom right-hand corner is the job that we're at now. So Brent, Michelle, and then Ron and Sandy Cornell, those are our other two builders. Ron and Sandy, Brent and Michelle are working right now at Niles, Ohio, at the job site. And that's when we poured the floor there. These pictures here are also from our job site in Massachusetts. This was a lot of fun. What we did was, so if you can imagine this ceiling being brought down to the level of the lights on the side and straight across with a bunch of beams like this and just straight across, posts in the middle. What we did was we took all that out, took it all off. We raised the roof with scissor trusses, so they had a vaulted ceiling on the inside and much better pitch on the outside. They had a very shallow pitch roof, not good for shingles, and we took it all off, redid it all, and it turned out really, really, really nice for them. A little bit about Baptist Church Planners. Baptist Church Planners facilitates the process for Baptist churches, the missionaries that they send, like you, churches like you, the missionaries that you send out to fulfill the Great Commission. They do that through different aspects. They take a team approach to all of that with all the different things. You can read all of that up there. They help me. They help you. My sending church is Ankeny Baptist Church down here in Ankeny, not that far away. And they help Ankeny Baptist be able to send me out as a builder. And they help other churches do the same thing. Church Care Construction, the picture here is Dave Whipple. He is our director. He's my boss, head boss, per se. We help churches in need. So if you have a building need or there's different things that we do, closure counseling, it's one thing that I don't like to hear about. I don't like hearing about churches closing, but it is something that is happening a lot. We help the church do that. We provide counseling and construction, financial services and different things for churches. We kind of help the behind the scenes part of the church and as part of church care. We also do disaster response. So the trip that I took down to Texas was part of that, and that's how one way that we do that. A couple things to be praying for me about. I'm very thankful for God leading me into this ministry. Very thankful for Him moving me forward and growing me. Just the different people that He's brought into my life to help me through the process. I'm very thankful for Ankeny Baptist. All the people at Baptist Church Planters, it's been very, very great time working with them. Pray for me as I travel. So right now I am on deputation, which means I travel around raising partners in ministry / kind of support. It is support, but we call it partner raising because it is a partnership between me and them. So I do three things for them, and they do three things for me. So pray that I'd be able to raise partners quickly, so that I can actually be back on the job site. Right now I'm off the job site. If I can help out, if I'm in the area and can help out once or twice a week, I'd do that. But right now I'm not on the job site full time, and I would really like to be back there. That's what God has me doing, and I love it. I don't mind doing this, but I love building a lot more. Just pray for me as I continue to grow in Christ and just continue to seek Him more and more each day. So pray that I just stay on task with my responsibilities as a Christian, as a builder, as I'm on deputation. There's lots of different things that I'm doing. And just pray that I'd be able to stay on task with all of those. So, let's jump into a couple passages this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I think I've got plenty of time. So, Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray this morning as we begin to open His Word and hear from Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the beauty of the day outside. I thank You for just the ways that You provide warmth and buildings for us, the clothes on our back. I thank You for everything that You've done for us. Lord, I pray that You would help me now as I relay Your Word. Give me the words to speak. Help me. Help us all to continue to seek You. Open our hearts this morning to hear from You. Thank You for everything You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Matthew chapter 28. You've probably heard lots of missionaries talk about this passage, but a lot of them talk about in verse 19, the go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And that's not the actual command here. The actual command, the go is a sub-command of the command, basically. The actual command is to make disciples. So as I'm working in buildings, fixing lights, or remodeling, or doing an addition, or doing new framing for a new building, as I'm working with different people, in my goings is what this is talking about. So the go is, as you are going, make disciples. When you're going about your daily life, make disciples. And that's what it's talking about here. And that's what we get to do as builders, day in and day out with different people that come on the job site. And that's what I really, really enjoy getting to do. And it says, go in your goings, make disciples of all nations. So for me, my part in that is going around the country, around the United States, building churches and building lives, making disciples of all nations. There's other people that go to all the flags that you see here in this room that you guys help go to another country. But my question is, how are you, in your goings, in your daily life, how are you making disciples? So let's look into that a little bit further. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. Says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. What this passage talks about throughout 1 Peter talks about suffering with Christ and like him, and following his example through suffering, that he didn't complain. He didn't, when he was suffering on the cross, he didn't speak. When he was being whipped 39 times, he didn't speak. But if we're supposed to follow him through the suffering, are we not also supposed to follow him through making disciples? And making disciples really is actually the easier task than suffering. So if it's the easier task than suffering, and we're supposed to follow his steps through suffering here in chapter 2, are we not also supposed to follow him in making disciples? Turn with me over just a couple pages in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 5. And this is something that throughout the last couple of days I've been reading through and mulling over in my brain. If you think of a cow, cows have four stomachs and they regurgitate from it goes into the first stomach the first time, and they regurgitate it up and they chew it again, and then it goes back in and goes into the other stomachs. What I've been doing the last couple of days is chewing that over again and chewing it over again and chewing it over again, trying to get the meaning of this. And so verse 5 down through verse 11 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so in an entrance will be supplied will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The part that really stuck out to me in this passage and fits with all the other parts that I've talked about this morning is verse 8. It says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren," which means having nothing, "or unfruitful." So if you think of an apple tree, if you're raising an apple tree, or if, let's take a cornfield for example. We've got lots of cornfields around here. If you plant a cornfield in the spring, and it pops up and grows really tall, really, really nice looking corn, but never grows an ear, that's an unfruitful cornfield. If that corn never grows an ear, what good is it? It might be good for cow feed, for silage, but that's it. And it's actually not even good, really that good for that, because there's no substance there. So, if all of these things, if virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, if all these things are in us, and I was talking with a friend yesterday that this is kind of the process of sanctification, of our continually growing to be more and more like Christ, that if these things are going in you, you will not be barren and unfruitful. So how can we this week not be barren and unfruitful in going about our daily lives and making disciples? If the easier task than suffering is making disciples, how can we go this week and even just point somebody to who Christ is? One way that has worked out for me on the job site, let me tell you a story how that has happened on the job site through me and through Brent and Michelle. In our job in Massachusetts this past spring, Massachusetts did not allow us to do the electrical, the plumbing, or the heating and air. So we had to have subcontractors come in and do that. And one of those guys, the electrician that we had come in, his name was Bob. And Bob was raised Catholic, would claim to be a Catholic man, knew certain things, but didn't. I don't know the last time he's been to a church. I don't know the last time he did anything like that. Bob, he wasn't a super crass guy, but you could tell he was holding it back because he was on our job site and knew who we were. And one day, we were waiting on lunch to come. Somebody from the church decided to provide us lunch, and we were waiting on that to come. And so I was between projects on the job and decided to sweep the floor. And I had music going on my phone, and I'm listening to hymns and Southern Gospel bluegrass-style music. And Bob likes heavy metal type of music. Completely different genres. And Bob asked me a question. "Doesn't that music bother you?" And I said, "No." And I got to explain why, and over about 10 or 15 minutes, I got to explain why that music didn't bother me, that it points me back to who Christ is, what he's done for me, and it keeps my heart focused on him, on Christ, instead of on myself. And that was completely foreign to Bob. And through that whole conversation, I actually got to share the gospel with Bob. I don't know if he's ever come to know the Lord since then. That was probably 6 months ago now. I don't know where Bob's at, what he's doing. But there's a seed planted there. That's what we get to do on our job sites. That is what I love to do on the job site. That's all it takes. That's how you can do it. If God can use a dumb farm boy from Pennsylvania, dumb dairy kid that doesn't like milking dairy cows, but if he can use me, he could actually use a rock better than me. If he can use me, he can use all of you. I am not a perfect person. I know none of us in this room are perfect people. There was only one perfect person that walked this earth. And that was Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect. But each of us is called to make disciples. So with that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just the word that you've given us. Thank you for the commands that you've given us. Thank you for just the way that you continue to love us, even though we are not perfect. Lord, I pray that you would use us this week. Show us how to make disciples. Help us in our goings this week to look for areas, look for people that we can just say, hey, what do you know about this? Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless our week as you already have. Lord, I ask that you would show us, give us opportunities this week to share the gospel, point other people towards you. Just be a light to other people, not laughing at the jokes at work or listening to different music. Lord, I pray that we would honor you and serve you with our lives this week. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done in my life and in the lives of the people in this room. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.